This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here until 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online early and often. We're live. 860-522-9842 is the number. Oh, the phones are ringing already.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
We love that.
Yeah, you're up like we are. We're also broadcasting simultaneously on the YouTubes and the Facebooks. So if you follow us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we're broadcasting there. Great group of folks helping each other as well. Dennis is very active in there. And on YouTube as well. Now, YouTube, of course, hates the music we play. So you have to catch it live, and then all of a sudden they throttle it because they don't like the bumper music. But who cares? Feel free to watch us on the YouTubes if you like as well. But we're here till 11 to help you guys out. And so we have some news for you.
We do. This is really good.
It's too funny. So Burger King, you know, the folks that want it to be your way, want to make sure their employees are not only flame broiling things correctly, but are treating you nicely.
Right.
Which is a good thing, right? We would want that. I mean, you look at Chick-fil-A, you walk in there, they're all nice.
Yeah.
You go to Publix down there in Florida. That's a 100% employee-owned company.
Yeah.
You know why. They're really nice.
They
own the company. Chick-fil-A has done it through training, right? So Burger King's like, you know what? Let's try this too. So they're going to use AI to do it. And as the register explains it, it's the AI is called Patty. And it's they call it their assistant cumnarchy. Basically, it's going to kind of spy or listen to what's going on with interactions at the point of sale system, kiosk areas, to see if employees are being nice or treating their customers properly. And then, of course, they will go back and talk to the manager and say, you know, Dennis over there, not being nice to the customers, and Patty will narc on him. And the manager, of course, will have to go over and try to help with the training, because who doesn't want to be happy when you're taking a Burger King order.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing about this is the story goes on to talk about the other technologies that have been out there from other fast food companies like McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Starbucks.
Yeah, and we're not talking necessarily about employee monitoring AI. We're talking about AI that fields the orders from the customer to the kitchen or whoever's going to serve it.
And they've all punted them all.
Yeah, that's gone.
If you can't figure out how to make AI work to take an order for a burger and fries, of all the things that should be pretty simple, I mean, even, you know, the kiosks are pretty easy if you go into a McDonald's and they have the kiosks and you go ahead and place your order. How can you not have the AI not understand that you want fries with that?
No.
And they've actually had to get rid of it. So it's just, it begs the question. Yes, I know AI is a thing. Don't get me wrong.
Eric, you're down on AI just like you were down on the cloud.
I know that the cloud is a thing. My point is it not quite a thing yet?
Yeah.
And if you look at all the expense of data centers and all the expense, it's actually harming our customers now because of data centers.
Yeah.
Can't get drives, can't get processors, can't get RAM.
Oh, yeah.
So mid-sized companies, small businesses who want to upgrade their 7-year-old server that they waited to do are now in big trouble because have gone skyrocketing. So we're going to have to babysit these things, not actually do projects that are very much necessary, because Patty, the Burger King AI, needs to pay attention to their employees to make sure that they are being nice. I don't know. All good. And we talked about this too before the show started. Jack Dorsey, who has some payment company called Block. Who just announced a layoffs of 4,000 employees. Somehow he's got 10,000 employees, laying off 4,000. He's blaming AI. For me, if you can't take a burger order correctly, How is a payment system going to lay off 4,000 people because of AI? I think it's another veiled excuse just to lay off 4,000 people.
Well, right. I was saying companies just having some problems and they need to lay people off, and that's the reason.
I think so. So we'll see how Burger King does with this patty. But if you happen to notice a happier drive-through experience or a happier counter experience, or maybe a better burger, it could all be due to the assistant cum narky, Patty. Or assistant cum narc, they call it, Patty. We'll put the link up here for that story, and you can take a look at it for yourself. It was literally talked about during their investor live stream event. So,
wow.
Yeah. Recently, too, I saw Burger King is changing something about their food. They made a better bun. I read that recently. They improved their bun, and they got better mayo.
Oh,
now,
really?
I can see those things making things change.
Well, sure. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would do if you're selling burgers. You're
going
to change your buns once in a while. You're going to upgrade
improve
the mayonnaise. Yeah, why not?
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. What do you got there, Dennis?
I have a new exploit that's been found in Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Okay. It's called, the people that have come up with it and found it are calling it AirSnitch.
AirSnitch, okay.
It does not sound good, and it is not good. Mm. It is a way to get underneath encryption of your Wi-Fi packets.
Already encrypted, you think.
Right, which is a way to unencrypt those packets so that somebody can intercept your traffic and read your data as it's going over the air.
Mm-hmm.
There are some limitations. The test that they did was on a list of particular hardware,
mm-hmm.
Different routers and access points. And the degree of ability of these, it's a whole class of exploits. The degree of how well they worked as exploits varied from device to device.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not like a vulnerability that's baked into the protocol itself. It has to do with the implementation on the hardware and how the packets are actually sent out over the air.
Right, just and how they're handled inside. They may not be encrypted.
Well, they are encrypted.
Right.
This is a way to get underneath the encryption and read the data anyway.
And that's the problem.
That's the problem.
And typically it's with maybe consumer level systems, you're saying?
Well, yeah, the list of routers and devices that was worked with is mostly all consumer grade.
Mm-hmm.
One was a Cisco Catalyst controller.
That's not good.
Yeah, but it's one of their older models.
Oh, okay. So probably end of life.
Yeah, it might be end of life or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I was looking at that list and I'm thinking, you know, this is all consumer stuff and it's not necessarily the best.
Right.
So who knows, you know, if better equipment, enterprise grade equipment might not be subject to the same problem, or they are subject to only one out of a whole bunch of different exploits, and the way that it's exploited is maybe difficult to do. One of the aspects of this is that if somebody does want to take advantage of these exploits, they actually have to have a hardware device of their own. It can't be part of the network already.
Okay.
And it has to be physically within the area of that Wi-Fi field.
Yeah.
So it isn't necessarily something that somebody, some hacker, can sit there and break into a network and just start sucking up packets and decrypting them.
Yeah, but it's...
They do have to deploy something.
War parking, war driving, those are common.
Those things can... Yeah, you can... theoretically, you could just park a car in the parking lot mm-hmm. and use that. But you still have to have that piece in place in order to take advantage of this.
Gotcha.
So there are physical security measures that can... help mitigate it, if you will.
In our Department of Defense clients that we work with, they actually have to use FIPS certified encryption.
Right.
Not FIPS compatible. They actually have to be certified. So very few manufacturers out there have this FIPS certified encryption on their wireless access systems.
Yeah, and it has to, if I understand right, it has, that equipment is subjected to a lot of testing.
Yes, and you got to pay a massive fee to the government to get certified.
You're paying for that, definitely.
So if you can avoid, if you can reduce your scope of where your CUI is, where it's not transmitted wirelessly, or you actually VPN, you can actually use VPNs within the firewalls, within the Wi-Fi, to then encrypt it. That's a way to get around that issue. But yeah, interesting, Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes you think, wait a minute.
Well, we have another quick story I want to bring up. Popular Science magazine has a story about a guy, Sammy, what was his name?
Ozdufall.
He,
it's one or the other.
Inadvertently was trying to figure out how to control his DJI vacuum with his, let's say, Xbox controller, whatever controller, his gaming controller. And so he started messing around with AI and have it reverse engineer that interface, and inadvertently was able to take over and control 7,000 vacuums.
What? 7,000?
He had his own botnet of vacuums.
From one Wi-Fi controller.
Yeah.
Or gaming controller, sorry.
That's a problem in that, A, he wasn't trying to hack anything, and he did it by accident.
That's the worst kind of a hack.
Yeah, that's how bad the security is. And then, of course, it's DJI, which is a Chinese company, which is an issue when it comes to even having these devices fly over our airspace, which is another problem. But if he can control 7,000 vacuums, it doesn't take that much leap of logic, Dennis, to say who over there in China is watching you vacuum your house. I don't know. And I'm not trying to freak you out or anything, but this is the ongoing issue of Internet of Things devices in our homes. Do we want anybody to have a camera running around? Because they need cameras to see. These robots need to see where they're going.
They do. They have cameras.
Yeah. And that's the creepy part. Some of them are going to have that location, of course. Like I told you about my dehumidifier who has, it knows when I'm home. I don't know why it knows that. These types of devices in our homes are going to be more and more of a security risk. I have Alexa at home. And I've renamed it to computer, which was a bad idea considering all the sci-fi, all the sci-fi I watch and computers being asked all sorts of things.
Right. Walk up to a computer like Scotty did in Star Trek IV. Yeah. Computer.
Exactly. So basically, I'm always telling it to go be quiet. But these devices are listening or watching, and some of them may not be doing it for the good. So we'll post the story. It's a very interesting Popular Science story that I literally just came across this morning. We'll step over for a quick break, John. Hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll post everything over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And again, three lines open for you. We're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And maybe you want to put some tape over that vacuum's camera. You thought your computer was spying on you. But let's go to your calls. Let's go to John in Farmington first. What's going on, John?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Eric and Dennis. I've had quite a time trying to get... I use Quicken Classic stuff for use their app for basically the only thing I use it for is updating, keeping track of portfolios, investment portfolios for eight or nine different accounts for several different people.
Okay.
Everything is just fine on my older Windows laptop, probably 5 years old.
Yeah.
Up to Windows 11, and a newer one, I've only had it about 3 or 4 months, and everything is fine there too, except on Quicken, and I know other people have had this problem too. It simply will not update current prices. Everything else is fine. It just keeps going back to the same prices I imported, I brought over with a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
as of February 16, and that's all it's showing is February 16. It will not change
your portfolio.
Yeah, and I've gone into the Windows Defender. That's the only thing I have, along with OpenDNS. Of course, I've talked to you before. OpenDNS gets overridden by my Xfinity.
Yeah, we heard.
Yeah. And but that's okay because I use the Brave browser, and so anyway.
Yeah, that will actually get around your provider getting around OpenDNS. I love it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, it does. Yeah, exactly. Well said. But anyway, back to the my natty little problem. I just thought I would check you guys. I'm really stumped. I went through Windows Defender to see if there was anything blocking there, because some of the programs I use, which are not ordained by Microsoft, they wouldn't work until I went into Windows Defender and did some repairs to allow them. But I can't find anything that will allow me to update current prices.
All right. Well, from what I'm reading, as you were chatting over there, it has to do with, it's not necessarily a bug, according to this person, it has to do with related to placeholders. They're offsetting your entry. So I don't use Quicken. I don't know specifically, but if there's a placeholder setting, it might be offsetting what's going on here.
Well, there are a couple with placeholder settings where we couldn't get cost basis information quite right, but that doesn't seem to bother the older laptop, and so I wouldn't think that would be a problem here on the newer one.
Here's the thing, though. The older laptop was installed with Quicken and your settings, and you massaged it, and you used it, and you ran it for 5 years, and you clicked this, you modified that. Then you went the new laptop and you loaded QuickBooks from scratch. You couldn't migrate it. You had to reinstall it, right?
That's what I did. I did reinstall it.
Right.
But I didn't have to. I had the update launch file, and I tried that. But then I did get rid of it. I uninstalled, and then I reinstalled again, a fresh download. Same version, basically. And same problem.
You know, I understand that, but they're differently configured. So just because you have the same versions of QuickBooks doesn't mean you haven't checked off the same items or set the same configurations within the other version.
Because
There could be something within placeholder settings. This is what I'm seeing here. I don't know Quicken enough to tell you any further than that. But if you do some research on looking at how you've configured your placeholders on the one that works versus the one that is not working, it's most likely a setting. That's what I'm seeing in here as far as what people are saying on the Quicken support forums. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing. It's different, even though it's the same.
I understand what you're saying. Okay. I'll try to go at it from that standpoint.
Did you see anything else, Dennis?
Yeah. I saw a whole bunch of articles that are basically different support forum discussions by people, and they're all saying the same thing.
Placeholder issues?
Placeholder, yeah. Okay. Whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
The other issue could be that you're just not making any money and don't know what you're doing.
Well, that would be Jack Dorsey's problem, too.
Yeah.
Right.
If your stocks aren't going up, you just picked the wrong stock, buddy.
Hopefully, right.
But no, that's got to be it, John. I think you're just some silly checkbox. If I had to guess, you're going to be like, it's this silly checkbox. And just so do some searching on placeholder settings in Quicken, and you'll probably find your answer.
Okay, fine. I appreciate your input, and I'll go at it specifically on that.
All right, sounds good. Good luck.
Yeah, and let us know how it works if it does.
All right, John's going to go give that a shot. That's the whole thing. People assume, I've got this running over here, and you've got a new computer, and it's running over there. Software is like the most unique thing possible, even though it's the same thing.
Well, you have to remember that, as you were trying to explain, the way that it was installed on the old computer has built up over a period of years.
Yeah.
And then you're installing it fresh over on this new one.
Right.
That stack of data that comprises that software is not the same from one computer to another.
Now, wouldn't it be nice,
Dennis, not the same.
If there was a way to extract some sort of configuration file that had all of that institutional knowledge in the software that you worked over 5 years and then take that and apply it to the new installation so that that would be remembered. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice, but you have to be a programmer to do it. You have to think of it, and right. you have to want to do it.
Exactly. And they never seem to.
They don't want to. No.
They want to make it a fresh, brand new Groundhog Day every day.
The only time you see that is usually for hardware oriented stuff like yeah. routers and things where you can collect a configuration file and move
reapply it.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
We're here till 11, and a couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842. And let's get right to your calls. Lori in Deep River is up next. What's happening, Lori?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've been, unfortunately, in my few times that I do go on to it, Facebook, I'm seeing a thing about Roku and TVs in general.
Mm-hmm.
Taking screenshots and listening to the voice. Now, I do not have turned on the voice-activated remote. I don't want my remote listening for me to say, hey, Siri.
Right.
Or hey, Roku, whatever.
Right.
But I want to make sure that even though I have that portion of it turned off, that it's not, you know, you were saying, put some tape over the camera on your vacuum cleaner.
I was just kidding.
I laugh at that because, no, but some of these creatures are pretty...
Yeah.
Intelligent, thinking of the Robin Williams skit. Where do I go to make sure? Now, I'm on my TV. Not on my TV, but I've got the thing open to privacy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where exactly or what I should. It said something about ACR or something along that line. I can't
remember. ACR has to do with your sound, I think.
It's automatic content recognition.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yep. Okay.
But that's not necessarily, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is related to this issue. But I also know, I thought ACR had to do with also how the HDMI interface happened. But maybe I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, they want to make money off of what you're watching, Lori. So I think we had a story about Vizio many years ago that made more money selling the information about you than they made
they
on
did
TVs.
Selling you the TVs, yeah.
So
not a surprise.
Yeah. There are privacy settings that we can probably find for you rather than walking through it all for you, where you can set these basic defaults to anonymize you a little bit more. They give you the opportunity to do that. The problem is the next time it updates, all that goes out the window. So you have to remember to just like a phone or just like anything else. You have a new EULA that says, Lori, you know, here's your new Roku terms of service. If you want to go ahead and use us. And I would contend less and less are you going to have the opportunity to even opt out of these down the line, unless somebody
probably
has a law that says we should be able to be more private than not. But that's up to guys like, you know, Blumenthal, who will talk about it.
My buddy Blumenthal. Excuse me while I choke.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But my point is you have to do the updates and change it. And then you have to remember to keep changing it every time. And they know that. And that's part of the battle you're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I did see a law that we want to make sure that the volume is the same. There's like some Connecticut politician that's making sure that in Connecticut, our commercial volumes can't be louder than the regular show volumes. Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
That's annoying, but that's not really important, folks. Yes.
That's my point about even bringing it up.
Well, there already are and have been for years, long time, decades, FCC regulations about that.
Mm-hmm. And here we are. So,
right.
Lori,
the commercials are still spiked up to the top maximum for the whole commercial, except for one little bit.
Right,
and that's allow them to. Yeah,
and that's the thing. They're gonna spend time on that, which fine. Clearly, they either don't know how to write a law, because we just talked about the fact that they've been talking about this for years, and they don't know how to write a law that actually works. They either don't know how to implement a law, they don't know how to make sure it's upheld, and now you want privacy, Lori?
Yeah. Oh, no, I should never want privacy.
Good luck getting these guys and gals to write that law.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
All right. Well, if you
we'll put a link.
Anything posting it on your website.
Yeah, we've got something going up.
And just so people realize, any and all smart televisions have these types of problems.
Smart.
Not just Roku. The word smart, right?
No. Yes, smart. There. This is the dumbest smart TV we've ever. Not that we've had a lot. We only had one LED or whatever. I can't remember.
Yeah.
We had one with the plasma TV a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our first smart TV, and I swear it's the dumbest smart TVs ever.
Yeah, there's some frustrations. I use a streaming tool called NVIDIA Shield for my streaming. Mm-hmm. I don't use Roku, but it's the same thing, right? So it's an Android-based system. It doesn't support certain platforms. Like, I can't run Spectrum apps on it. So you're right. Some of these systems are still dumb, or there's issues with them. And all of them want your information. So it's.
Oh, yes, they do.
But it's good that you brought this up, and we'll put a link up here for you, Lori.
Wonderful. That's appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day now.
You too. Bye bye. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that whole volume thing has been a thing.
Yeah.
This show's been on the air for 30 years. Probably it's been a thing for the past 20, even when it was cable, right? There were these lawmakers who are saying you can't have the commercials be 20 decibels louder than the actual content, because you find yourself cranking it up because you can't hear the movie, cranking it back down, right? You're playing with that clicker volume the whole time. I think it was on FX all the time. That drove us nuts. Why is that still a thing in the year 2026, Dennis? Can't these guys write a law correctly?
I think they've written the law correctly. It's just that you have to have it enforced.
Enforcement.
There has to be people at the FCC that are willing to go out and say to the TV stations or whoever, or radio stations, hey, you can't do that.
We need volume police instead of green police. Well, all right, let's go talk to Sue in Bristol. What's happening, Sue?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a question, and I also want to sing your praises.
Oh, we love that. My wife hates it, but we love it.
A couple of months ago, I called because my new Windows 11 computer no longer will play DVDs like my old Windows 10 because the Microsoft products don't play videos like they used to. And you recommended a program that would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been happily watching videos on my computer, well, DVDs, because you're awesome, and you put a link up, and I downloaded it, and it was easy, and it worked.
Wow.
So, yay to you.
Thank you, Sue. We appreciate it. We're glad it worked.
It did. Now for the question. So, my brother has a computer, and he gave me a call yesterday and asked me a question about his Frontier bill, because we both have Frontier. And I told him I thought the charge was hogwash, but then I'm not a professional like you are. On his bill is multi-device protection. And they are charging him, I think he said, $10.
Yep, that's hogwash. Right.
And the man has a computer.
Mm-hmm.
His cell phone does not connect to Wi-Fi. His telephone is wired. His computer is wired. Computer singular.
Yeah.
Telephone singular.
Yeah.
There are no multi-devices, and yet they've been charging him this charge.
Mm-hmm.
I told him to call Frontier and have them take it off.
Yeah.
Because it's hogwash.
Yeah.
It is.
But I just want your confirmation.
All it is, well, who knows what they're actually giving you with this multi-device protection, but all it is web filtration, most likely.
Yeah.
That we recommend for free.
Right. And we tell you how to set up OpenDNS, which will do that for you, and you manage it instead of Frontier. So, you know.
And if all you have is one computer and a landline and a prepaid telephone that does not connect to Wi-Fi, you don't need it.
No,
you don't need it anyways. As far as I'm concerned, the internet providers, all you need is just the bandwidth, and they're trying to stack on quote unquote services. You know, it's kind of like the undercarriage wax you get when you go through the old car wash there. Are you getting any undercarriage wax? I don't know. That's why I don't buy it. I mean, my undercarriage is just fine. But they're
I
trying to
using car washes when you had to have a subscription to take your car through a car wash.
Oh yeah,
that's another one. Yeah, that's a.
I know
that's a hogwash there, Sue.
If I want to watch a video, I'll use the program that you had me download, as opposed to going through a car wash and watching movies as I go through.
Yeah. So in his case, you can ask them to turn off that stuff. You should. It should be optional, but it always they'll opt you in versus opt you out. Typically, I don't know if you can get it off your bill though. That's another issue, right? So you've purchased service, and can they add these fees on top of it without your consent? That's a question of the consumer, the Department of Consumer Protection. I think they deal with these things, or PURA.
Or PURA, one or the other.
I have a bad feeling it'll be PURA.
Yeah.
But that might be a question.
Give me the warm fuzzies.
Well, no, but if they won't take it off, it would be worth you complaining, right? Because nobody asked, you didn't ask for it. You just asked for internet service.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't have it on my bill.
Oh, then it's most likely definitely he opted in by, they opted him in rather than opted him out. So that would be, that gives you more reason to get rid of it. So
perfect.
You should be able to
get rid of it. I feel
better. Make sure he's running OpenDNS though. Can you help him with that, Sue?
That's a little out of my league. However, the computer does a little bit of surfing. And also does email.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do a lot. But he's probably listening to you right now because it's Saturday morning and that's what he does. So, John, if you're listening, call the guys and they'll tell you what to do.
Exactly. Configure OpenDNS.
We will post an article for describing how to set it up. This is one that I actually wrote. Because of the fact that Cisco, that runs OpenDNS, took away the article that told you how to do it.
It's weird.
You can go to their support site. You can click on an option that should open that page,
and then it just doesn't.
They actually deleted the file from their web server. I don't know why, but they did. So I replaced it.
Nice.
And I include guides that take you to ChatGPT or Copilot that will tell you how to navigate your own router's interface too.
Good.
My own article doesn't describe all of them, but those two things will get you through.
And John will be $120 bucks a year richer.
Yeah, and I don't use ChatGPT, and I have removed, believe it or not, I found a way to disable that stupid Copilot.
AI is kind of cool, though. So, don't not use it.
In this case, these ChatGPT and Copilot sessions and Gemini, they will actually help you. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If you open them up and then you go to the bottom and you say, my router is whatever model. How do I do this?
It will
give you some advice. It'll tell you what to look for and you can go.
So we would encourage you to use AI, right? Use it. Be aware of the.
You guys are so much better.
No. It's designed for everybody.
We can't. The reason we use it is because we literally cannot cover all the possible models and all the interfaces that are out there. I mean, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But AI can. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it does. It vacuums up information and then it spits it back out.
Some of it will make sense.
So we're taking advantage of the fact that in this particular case, for this purpose, it can do a really good job. So there you go.
All right, so don't be afraid of it. Use it while you still can, because eventually they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for it because of how much it costs to have.
I will take it under consideration.
All
right, in the meantime, thank you so much for confirming that that really is a charge that does not need to be there.
Yep.
And for giving me the ability to tell you how wonderful you are yet again.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So yeah, AI, I mean, we want to make sure you guys understand about this. You know, I'm an AI skeptic as far as the bubble is creating. There's a lot of incestuous purchasing happening between the manufacturers and these software companies pushing up stock prices, which reminds me of the dot-com bubble. Now, the dot-com bubble was all pushed up with credit. They were borrowing money, which made it a bigger problem when it burst. In this case, that might be happening less because these IT companies have so much cash. But to build data centers is not cheap, and they're sucking up all the hardware that we can't even get. So they are actually spending money and doing things, but they're spending it with each other. So it's they're propping each other up. And when one goes poorly, it could bring down a big chunk. But the AI technology, there are some pretty cool things in there. Like, again, yeah. Notebook LM, I would recommend every legislator in Connecticut use it. Ingest whatever they're telling you to vote on 5 minutes before the end of the session to trick you into voting on things, because you can actually ingest it into Notebook LM and it'll explain it in the David Green voice that David Green is suing over. It'll be in an NPR style David Green voice. It'll explain to you what the law is doing to us. That's a great way to rip through 300 pages of baloney and figure out what's going on in it. And it's, you know, you can drink your Chardonnay while you're actually listening to it. So don't be afraid of AI necessarily. There's lots of hallucinations. Yes, we do talk about all the silliness of AI, and right. But we're not telling you not to use it. It has great functionality, but Microsoft, Taco Bell, they've punted it because yeah. it couldn't work in their stuff. Right. So there's some issues with the actual application of it. So we'll see what happens. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. So we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you as we wait for your calls. We do have some technology news to have you think about.
Yeah. It turns out that a company called CarGurus that resells cars online, they had a data breach.
Oh, boy.
Information on 12.5 million accounts.
This is bad news released. For CarGurus.
Right. It's very bad news for them because they're in the business of selling cars. And that means that they're subject to FTC examination.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to just having to deal with a cyber attack and having to deal with the liability that goes with this data being boosted from their systems,
yep.
Now they have to undergo an examination by the FTC.
Right.
And that's not going to be fun, and it's going to cost them a lot of money.
It really will.
Of everything else.
There could be some serious penalties because these FTC rules were implemented about a year plus ago.
Right.
For anybody who had more than X number of thousand accounts, whether you be a financial planner, an accounting firm, any kind of car dealership, and you're dealing with thousands of accounts, and I can't think of the number. We can look it up. We can actually put the FTC rule up there for you to see, but if you're in this business, you already know about it, and you typically are paying for a third-party company to help you quote-unquote become compliant. Well, either they didn't do that, which they had to, or yeah. There was still some problems with what happened with this breach. You know, did you have all these people's data in some central database for some crazy reason? Did you really need to know that Dennis bought a car from you 10 years ago? You know, that's the kind of stuff when it comes to this data. Not that Dennis did, but that's the example, right? Why do people keep this stuff for so long? It makes you more vulnerable and makes me more vulnerable if I did buy a car from you 10 years ago. Why do you need to keep it? And this is going to be – it could be a really big expense for CarGurus. Anything yeah. in the article talk about that or no?
I don't think they mentioned that specifically. This is just kind of an overview article that, you know, describing the fact that they had the breach and
yeah.
kind of the scope of it. The fallout is not really covered in here. But, yeah, this is going to affect them in a lot of ways. And they're probably, in addition to paying penalties and stuff to the mm-hmm. FTC, they're probably going to have to pay for a whole bunch of additional security measures. They may have to replace some software and hardware that doesn't meet specs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the costs of this just escalate
yeah.
exponentially very quickly.
So we'll see what happens to the CarGuru folks. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Plainville. What's happening, Bill?
Hey, just two things. You mentioned Notebook LLM.
Notebook LLM, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, Notebook LM? Oh, yeah, there we are.
Yeah.
So I typed it in a search engine in DuckDuckGo, and it came up with three different links.
Right, that's why we tell you not to do that, Bill.
We tell you to go to the link that we provide you on our website
or on our
Facebook group.
Don't Google it.
Or on Twitter.
Okay.
Or
thank
X.
You, because I had that same problem the other day with a graphic program. It's like, okay, what's real and what isn't
right.
real? So
yeah.
The other thing I want to mention is some things about AI I like, some things I don't like. Yeah, my Yahoo Mail will summarize what's in the text. Mm. And the person wrote, hey, we're going to meet at 9:45 and start the hike at 10 o'clock, or we're going to meet at 9:45 for a 10 o'clock hike.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summary, it said the hike will happen from 9:45 to 10 o'clock. it implied that it will end at 10 o'clock. I can't remember the exact verbiage, but it said from 9:45 to 10 o'clock. I think a hike is longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's the funny thing about AI, right? You ask about the intelligence of it, right? So if it's smart, which thankfully it's not, it would be able to discern how stupid that is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what gives us all that pause. It's like, really? If AI is this smart, it would realize a hike's not 15 minutes. It would realize someone's not going to even bother to write an email about a hike that takes 15 minutes. But no, it doesn't realize that. It's too stupid. So these artificial intelligence programs are really just guessing the next word. They're not necessarily applying any kind of intelligence. They're just guessing what the next word is going to be to create its summary. So it didn't incorrectly guess. It just didn't infer or understand what it was looking at. When the AI does get to the point where it can, like where we are going to actually see cures for cancer and all these great things we hope it'll actually do, then we're going to be very happy about it. But if it can't tell what you just talked about yet, we're probably safe from Skynet for now.
For now.
Well, the one thing that I've been reading up on this, I'm a retired IT person, but yeah. I'm still interested in this stuff. My understanding from what I read in one book, OpenAI, ChatGPT, gets their stuff from tens of thousands of books, it said.
Right.
A ton of websites and everything in Wikipedia. Now, there's a lot of bad data out there.
Oh,
how
yeah.
do you decipher what's accurate and what isn't accurate?
Well, it's a great question, Bill, because what actually people are doing is actually poisoning the data AI is scraping. They're actually they're doing a couple things. They're asking companies like Cloudflare to make their websites invisible to AI so they can't have their data scraped. And they're poisoning the data with garbage within the website so the AI does come back and say the earth is flat.
Or that you can divide by zero.
Right. So they're throwing this type of stuff in there to cause AI confusion on purpose because of this stuff. So yeah, whatever and of course, if it's getting it from sci-fi, I mean, who knows what it's going to come up with when you ask for, you know, what a tachyon beam is? They don't exist, right? It'll describe what it. So we have a long way to go, but it is hopeful. I have hope for it, but it's too expensive right now when it comes to the data centers and the energy it's consuming, and it's harming businesses, actual businesses that want to produce parts for an F-35 because I can't put a server in for them because I can't get a server. Ouch.
Mm-hmm. 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 A couple of friends of mine have said complained about the cost of hard drives.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Oh, yeah. They're not cheap anymore.
It's nuts because they need more AI to tell you your hike is 15 minutes. So that's where we are.
I'm glad I bought a super video gaming machine 2 years ago did not wait till now.
You're smart. You got lucky. But none of us knew this was coming. We should have, but we really didn't know. So they don't tell us. You would think there'd be a little more intelligence in the actual supply chain to let us know a year and a half from now what's going to happen. But
nah,
we don't know. Just like the whole toilet paper crisis of COVID, right? It's the same problem.
Well, I was listening to Eric on your.
Hey, Bill, can I put you on hold? I have to go to a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll bring back Bill. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.